Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dale and Keith, middays on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Hour number two, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy Stevens in the house with us. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline right now is one of the best basketball analysts in the country, currently employed by Stadium, but you should follow him on Twitter as I do. Jeff joining us right now. Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Oh, boy, Dale. Oh, boy.
Yeah, you picked a great
point, isn't it?
Well, and let's start there, because you were on a podcast with Bob Ryan a few days ago, and you were talking about unnamed NBA players who were talking about the Celtics situation. For the sake of our listeners, what was it you were reporting then?
Well, basically that they were saying how easy the Celtics are to guard, you know, because ultimately, you know, it's two dudes in Tatum and Brown that really look for their own. You know, yeah, they'll put up some assist numbers, but they're not consistently making guys better. They're taking a lot of contested, difficult shots. Part of it is they don't have somebody to help get them easy shots, and part of it is that they're guys that are scorers at heart. So basically, what he's saying was like they don't turn down tough shots to get another guy an easy shot. So teams load up on them and live with them taking long twos, and they've kind of figured it out to some extent. So, you know, again, you got two all-stars, not Kemba, just not. And I don't know if he's not Kemba because he's damaged goods. He looks small, obviously. He looks smaller than he ever looked, and he always looks small. And maybe, maybe he just put up these numbers on a crappy Charlotte team and was never at the level that we thought. Now, I'm not saying I'd rather have Kyrie back. It's unbearable for me. Like, I just didn't want to deal with Kyrie. You know, I'd rather lose with Kemba than maybe win with Kyrie. I don't know if fans feel the same way, but I think you need to wait and see in a month on the trade deadline kind of where you're at. When Marcus Smart comes back, and give Kemba another few weeks and see kind of what this team looks like then. Then you have a decision to make if you're Danny Ainge. And I don't know if you have a decision to make if you're Wick Rosbeck, but you probably do in a sense of, like, if you're going to spend some money. But if you're Danny Ainge, you have decisions to make then. And I never thought I'd say this because I'm the biggest Brad Stevens fan there is as a human being, and I watched him take Butler to two championship games from the Horizon League. Okay, so, like, the guy can coach. Let's not say he can't coach. Can he coach this team? Can he get enough out of this group? That's the big question.
And that was the question I was going to ask. If you talk about them being predictable and maybe their two superstars stagnating a bit in their development in terms of all-around basketball players, how much longer can you go with Brad Stevens? He's been here a long time, and he hasn't been able to get over the hump with various rosters, various stars, and it seems like maybe they've topped out with this group once again.
Well, that is the big question. Is do you just need a new voice? You know, sometimes it's you know, look at Doc Rivers, right? Like, it wasn't working in L.A. with the Clippers, and a change of scenery was probably best for all involved there, and it's working in Philly. So could that be the case with Brad? It's just, you know, and part of it, guys, is I've said this. Who have Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown been able to learn from as leaders? Okay, like Kemba doesn't say much. He always smiles. He's the best kid guy in the world. But he's not a vocal leader. Gordon Hayward never said two words. Kyrie was like the worst leader. Like learn by doing the opposite of what Kyrie did. That might have worked. But like these guys haven't had anybody to learn from how to lead. And they're young and they're trying to figure it out. And again, they don't have anybody making their job easier. I don't want to make excuses for them. But they don't have – Kemba's not Kemba yet. He's worried about himself. And he's not – he's a scorer at heart too. So I just think the team hasn't been constructed all that well. They're also dealing without Marcus Smart, who's your toughest dude, and Kemba being Kemba.
Jeff, you were just effusive in your praise for the coaching style of Brad Stevens. And I think we all are fans and want him to succeed because of where he's taken the team over the last couple of years. We all think he can coach as well. In the collegiate level, we're seeing exactly how his style works out on the pro level. But how do you think other teams around the league feel about his coaching style? Have you heard anything that where other people talk like, yeah, all you have to do against a Brad Stevens team is X, Y, and Z, and you can take them out?
No, it's not necessarily the adjustments. It's not the X's and O's. It's honestly more people around the league saying, like, he's too nice. You know, he's too nice. He doesn't jump them. He doesn't get up in them. And ultimately, are they, you know, again, then you're leaving it up to them to be self-motivated, which they should be able to be. I mean, last night was a complete embarrassment. Like, how you don't show in a game like that and come out with, you know, all the intensity that you should have. So part of that's on the players because they're making a lot of money and they shouldn't have to be motivated like that. But I think part of it also is maybe the coaching staff. You know, you got a bunch of guys on that staff that are pretty even keeled, pretty mellow. And that's been a major asset for Brad Stevens throughout his career, right? A major asset. But ultimately, you might want a guy on this bench, a former NBA player that would really jump some of these guys. I'm not saying it's our Kevin Garnett, but like a guy like that, right? Who's gonna get up in him? You know, even if it's like Udonis Haslam as your 12th man, who never plays, but like he'll get up in these dudes. They need it.
We're talking to Jeff Goodman of Stadium, one of the best basketball analysts in the country. What would be worse in your mind, Jeff? That Brad Stevens is telling them what they're doing wrong and they can't do it, or that they're not listening to him at all?
I mean, probably that they're not listening to him at this point. Because, again, I just – like, Brad Stevens is, like, so easy to play for. So easy. So if you're doing that, it's showing me that you're so immature that you're not listening to him at all, that you've tuned him out at this point. I just – he can coach. It's not that he can't coach. Again, I just think there's a lot of issues right now facing this team. It's not one thing. It's not one thing. What do you do? You know, again, you need players. You need these guys to play with more intensity. Maybe the coach needs to get up in them a little bit more. There's a lot. Their bench stinks right now.
So Wick Grosbeck went on the radio this week and seemed to preach a little bit of caution in terms of reactions. He's not going to fire Danny. He's not going to fire Brad. And, you know, even said, you know, maybe the trade exception could be used better after the season for the situation they're in. And I would ask you, is he paving the way for limited changes moving forward this year? Is this team not even worth investing in because they've now fallen below 500? They're closer to last place than first. They're not really a contender. So are they not even really worthy of trade deadline additions?
No, they're 100% worthy of trade deadline. You can't sit tight on this. Like, to me, you wait a month. The trade deadline's right about a month from now. You wait till they come back from All-Star break. Maybe that gives them, and we don't know how Tatum is dealing with post-COVID, obviously. He hasn't looked the same consistently. He's shown flashes. But I think you wait till they come back. You give it a couple weeks. But I think you make a move. I do. Unless they turn it. Unless they just kind of flip it on their own and they start playing well again. And then you make maybe a minor move, like what Danny has kind of hinted at of getting a scorer coming off the bench. But, you know, the problem is What major move can you make with this team? You're not trading Tatum. I'm not. You're probably not trading Jaylen Brown, although I might. I mean, I know people think I'm crazy, but I might trade him because, man, his value is probably never going to get higher than it is right now. I don't know what you can get for him, but I might look into that. And you can't trade Kemba because his value is too low. And what else do you have? Really, what else do you have? Marcus Smart certainly can help a team, and there's value with Marcus Smart, but not by himself. You know, Tristan Thompson, Daniel Tice, like, these guys aren't pregnant a lot. You don't have all these picks anymore.
I like what you said about a Udonis Haslam type on the bench. You can just tear into them and give them the business when they need a pickup, or you know, just a good old-fashioned yelling. And I think it would be great. Yep. Like, that's what Kevin Garnett used to do for years, and his value was as much about that as it was his on-court presence, rebounding, trash talking, shooting, etc. I've wanted that kind of player as opposed to maybe a three-point heat check guy off the bench. So if Danny wants to go out and get one of those guys, Jeff, might it be a little more difficult for him because there was that story that went around recently where general managers were, you know, rumored to be tired of Danny always calling up and trying to win the trade or fleece people or get a dollar back and only offer 50 cents. Is it going to be more difficult for him to make a trade now, you think?
I mean, with certain GMs, maybe, right? I mean, certain GMs are still scared, maybe, or want to rip them off or whatnot. But, yeah, I mean, I think ultimately if you're going to give somebody a trade that's going to help them, they're not going to care about who they're doing it with for the most part, right? I mean, if they think they can win the trade, they're not going to care whether Danny Ainge was trying to sell Kemba when he wasn't 100% or whatever. I'm sure he's not the only one who's done that. Like, my guess is plenty of GMs have tried to trade guys that were not 100% healthy and not been completely upfront with exactly what their health situation is.
You mentioned earlier that you would consider trading Jaylen Brown. You wouldn't consider trading Jason Tatum. I'm wondering, is Jason Tatum not the player that people have wanted him to be? He was sort of anointed upon arrival in Boston. The next Paul Pierce, superstar, you know, he made All-NBA third team. Some people think he's a top 10 player. And maybe it is the COVID thing you alluded to, but are we sure he is still an alpha dog, build-around kind of championship-caliber player?
Yeah, with a good point guard, sure. I think so, but, you know, I think part of it, again, is you're expecting this kid to probably do a little bit too much too soon. You know, he's still, what, 22 years old, and it's not like he's got a ton around him, again, making him better. Like, even James Harden, guys. Like James Harden, we know him as a scorer. But what James Harden can do is he can make easy decisions, giving guys easy baskets when he wants to, right? Like I just feel like that's not been Kemba. That's not Kemba's game. That's certainly not Jaylen Brown's game. So whose game? This team misses Gordon Hayward. Not for $30 million a year, but damn, do they miss Gordon Hayward. Why? Because he always made the right play. He's just a smart, high IQ, professional basketball player who isn't always looking to score, but he's a ball mover. And this team does not have enough ball movers, whether it's at the, you know, when you got Tristan Thompson in there. Again, Tatum, Brown, they're scorers. Kemba's a scorer. Like, they just don't have enough of those guys.
Jeff, we'll end this discussion as we began. Oh, boy.
Yeah, no doubt. It's going to be interesting next month, guys.
Always appreciate the time. Thanks, Jeff.
See you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Jeff.
That is Jeff Goodman from
that
Stadium.
That was an evil giggle. Did you hear that giggle? That was like...
There was just my right amount of menace in that giggle. That's what I love. Like,
wow.
Oh.
I will say this, and he's probably more level-headed than emotional Celtics fans are today in the aftermath. He was as emotional about that performance last night as we all are. It was an embarrassment. It's just hard for me to picture. If things don't turn around, it's hard for me to picture Danny and Wick and Steve sitting through this for another month before they make a move.
Yes.
It's hard to picture them, you know, being that patient, waiting that long.
You're right. My main takeaway from that conversation was a little bit of the Aaron Rodgers. R-E-E. relax, right?
Yeah.
He brought a more national perspective, a month per get Marcus Smart back out there, get after the All-Star break, get closer to the trade deadline. You know, he's clearly still all in on Brad Stevens as a good coach, although even he acknowledges maybe the change of voice, change of scenery type scenario could play out. Mm-hmm. But he brought a little bit more reasoned analysis or stability to the thought, whereas we are all looking at, you can't defend, you're losing, players are talking about enthusiasm and game-to-game emotion, you're sub-500, you're underachieving, something's got to change, someone's got to go. He didn't quite have that tone to him.
Even scarier than that was talking to NBA players who say, the Celtics just aren't hard to play against.
Right.
You know exactly what they're going to do. You know, they're not looking for the open guy, and you know.
But would you? Like, that's the thing I get back to is I criticize Brown and Tatum as much as anybody.
No, the answer is yes, I would. Michael Jordan ultimately found out that they were really great when he was willing to dish. He was still the alpha dog. He was the best player on the planet, but they were a better team when he was willing to find Kerr, find Paxton.
Who are you willing to dish to on this team consistently? That would be my question.
Well, like, the question is, how did they know?
Well, it'd be
they
nice
don't
if,
even
if,
try.
If Pritchard or Nesmith turned into a killer, or at least like a marksman, and they knew that
or
they could go for the finals.
Or if you went and got J.J. Redick, which is what I've been advocating for
several
weeks
now. Well, he scored a whopping four. Yeah, that's what Perk told us they should get. He scored a whopping 4 points against them Sunday during that epic Zion Williams comeback. But, in my feed, at least during that interview, a bunch of people were saying, if we need a Udonis Haslam type, if he's doing work for ESPN and doing stuff for NBC Sports Boston on the Celtics, is there any chance the Celtics can put Perk back on the roster just so he can sit there and yell at them in person every night? Because I would sign up for that yesterday, please, and thank you.
That's an interesting, because he brought up not just that Brad Stevens is too nice, the staff is too nice. Like, they don't have an assistant coach or anybody able to do that, whether it's ex-player or not, but just in general, they're lacking that. And for a young team, for a team that doesn't know its role, I could see why that's missed, why that could be necessary. But I also think it's a hard role. So Kendrick is just going to come straight out of the media, and I don't know, that feels a little weird too.
And I also think it's easier to say this stuff on TV than it is looking a player in the face as you're part of the staff, quote unquote. Here was Kendrick Perkins post-game after that debacle last night.
Here's the problem that I have, Abby, okay? It's just no heart. And it starts with Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Tonight, all I saw out of Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum was bad body language, shooting up a whole lot of shots, complaining to the referees, not playing any type of defense. I mean, listen, Gallinari went off for, you know, almost 40 points tonight. Are you kidding me? That made me want to go get back on the treadmill and the elliptical and get back in shape. The Boston fans are not going to feel sorry for you. We are not going to feel sorry for you. This performance tonight was unacceptable, and this was the worst loss of the season.
Yeah, I agree with him on that.
By the way, I loved him saying it on TV. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying it's easier to say it on TV.
Be great off the bench, though. Maybe. If you actually tore into him on the bench, Dale, or somebody would actually do that as opposed to like, all right, guys, we're really just kind of out of sorts tonight. Let's take a look. Here, I brought a big mirror. Let's all take a look in it.
And, you know, it might be packaged slightly differently if he's saying it off the bench, sitting on a Gatorade cooler or wherever he is. But the body language thing is a definite thing with Tatum. Now, Jaylen Brown has unique body languages. Sometimes you can't tell with Jaylen Brown whether he, you know, they're up 15 and he just dunked and posterized a guy, mm-hmm. or they're down 15 and he missed a three. He has sort of a very constant Jim Brown-like, I get up the same way after every carry to him. But, you know, Jeff sort of defended Jason Tatum when I asked him, is he really a superstar? Is he really an alpha dog? And if he gets somebody around him.
He said point guard first.
No, I know. So the answer would be no. Because that's how I look at that. If you are a true superstar, you find a way with what's around you. You don't need, if you need something, now you're that next tier player. You're really good, but I got to pair you with the right kind of player. To me, superstars go into a gym, and everybody knows immediately they're the best player in that gym, whether that gym is at a YMCA, a college campus, a high school campus, or an NBA facility. Now, you could argue against me with LeBron based on the way he was in year one in LA, but LeBron, superstar, right? Kawhi, oh my God, he's going to the Raptors. Excuse me, the Raptors won the title? Is that what you said? The Raptors are now champions? Like, Those are superstars. They elevate not just teammates, they elevate franchises. If I need to pair the right pieces around you, then you're a really good player, right? Kyrie. Kyrie wanted to be a superstar. We're trying to find out, oh, Kyrie, you're not a superstar, because you know who you need around you? LeBron or Durant or Harden or these other guys. And it's okay to be a player, you know, 8 through 15 instead of 1 to 7.
Yeah, I hear you, Andy, but at the same time, if ball movement is so important in basketball, period, let alone in a Brad Stevens offense, and the Celtics are not executing proper, if not good, or surprise ball movement, like if it's just super predictable, if they're not making sure they get plenty of touches and set up the right kind of shots, if Jason Tatum is your assist leader with 4.6 assists per game, you don't have a good point guard, you're dead in the water already. There's no unpredictability to this team whatsoever. And he's just not star enough right now, Dale.
Sorry, Fitzy. 617-779-7937. Tony's in Boston. Hey, Tony.
How you guys doing?
Doing great. How are you?
Super.
So to top off on two of y'all topics, so the thing with Jaylen Brown and Tatum is, like you said, they're young, but the problem is Brad Stevens doesn't run any sets that gets them open off the ball. Everything they score-wise is on ball. Everything is just creating on a one-on-one level or pick and roll. He doesn't run no real set plays that frees them to come off the ball so that they can score. And also lack of us not having a real point guard that can distribute and create and get into the lanes and find ways for them to get the ball to get easy shots. So it's not really too much on them because they're young and they're alphas. They're supposed to score, but you're supposed to find ways to get them involved in the game without having to have the ball in their hand. And that's something that Brad Stevens not doing. Also, to top off, Danny Ainge, he has bad personnel. We have nobody off the bench. Some of these guys shouldn't be here. We should have kept Baines over the Tice kid. He's been making real bad decisions. We have nobody that can key in and come and give us a spark. You know, there's nobody that we have that just comes in the game when we're not doing good and can just spark us off 15, 20 points, hustle, rebound, assist, you know, that's out there. Marcus Smart does it, but he's starting. So it's hard when we have that, and we're leaving everything on these young guys, which is not really too much to be their fault because they're still young, and we don't have no other real leader there. They never had a leader there.
Right.
Well, that's the issue. Now, I will say when Ainge made his weekly media appearance, this morning radio appearance, he said that you know, he made some mistakes in the construction of this roster, but he didn't want to get into specifics because, as he said appropriately, there are people involved here. I mean, you don't say, God, I can't believe I went and got Teague. What a dopey move that was. You don't say that stuff, even if that's probably one of the mistakes that he made in the offseason.
Definitely one of the mistakes.
Yeah. So he knows that he didn't construct a roster that gives Brad the best opportunity to produce at a high level. Now the question is, can he fix that, as Jeff Goodman said, within the next month?
And the caller used the word spark. They don't have anybody that can come in and spark something. And it's why we talk ourselves into even the tiniest hint of a spark. Ooh, Neesmith playing early. He hustles. He runs down every once in a while and blocks a guy from behind. Like, no, his spark was supposed to be like three threes in three possessions, right? Mm-hmm. Like that, he's supposed to be a Robert Williams lob. We get all excited about lob Williams. And like, he tries to add a spark, but it's limited. Or, you know, the one-off Shemmy game or Carson Edward, like whoever, like they've all had little blips. And I keep going back to this. That's what led you to put basically all your chips on Peyton Pritchard's number. You're like, Peyton, I know you just got here. I know you were a late first round pick and all. We kind of need you to be like a core player for us night in and night out. And we're seeing some inconsistencies to his game that's going to come with a young player of his stature.
That's too much to ask.
Yeah. AJ's down on the cake. Hey, AJ.
Hey, how you doing? Oh, Hunt, you're hating on Tatum today, aren't you?
A little bit. I feel like a Tatum hater today.
Oh, because you're saying like Tatum's not really a superstar if he needs help. Well, LeBron needed help. KD needed help. That. Steph Curry needs help. Oh, who else needs that? Who needed help? Oh, James Harden needed that. So,
I'm not sure LeBron needed help. LeBron, late in his career, needed AD. Late in his career,
he needed help. He needed Kyrie to get over the top. AJ's right.
He went to the finals every place he's ever been. When's the Celtics going to get to the finals? You let me know.
Okay, Cleveland, he had to leave Cleveland because he couldn't beat the Celtics, so he had to go team up with Miami with Bosh and Wade.
Well, but he went to the finals. He didn't win a title. He's been to the finals everywhere he's ever been. He proved that where he goes, the finals follow. Now, whether he finishes that job and wins a title.
But he didn't win the titles, Andy. I'm with AJ on this one. He didn't win a title, Andy.
Okay, so I'll move Tatum up a notch when he loses in the finals.
Hold on. Is Russell Westbrook a superstar? Is Bradley Beal a superstar? Is Kyrie a superstar? Because they all need help.
I think Westbrook might be, but that's the reality of the NBA, too, though, that we talk about is we anoint these guys superstars. Marcus Smart, what?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Marcus Smart. Everybody treats him like he's like the version of Stephon Gilmore and Reeves, like he's a shutdown defender. Russell Westbrook dropped 40 on us last year. Bradley Beal dropped 40 on us. He's not a lockdown defender. So he's not like the cure of the Celtics' problems right now.
We're not saying he's the cure for all their problems, but he's a hell of a lot better defender than anybody they got out there right now.
Right.
But he's not just – he doesn't stay on one defender. What, one, two hustle plays makes him a great defender?
I'd like to see one or two hustle plays from either of these two guys.
You're right. But Marcus Smart's not going to do it. They're not going to make the team any better. I really don't. His offensive game is so limited. He should be past half court. It's terrible.
I hate to tell you this, but his and people don't want to hear this. Kemba Walker's offensive numbers and Marcus Smart's offensive numbers this year aren't very far apart. They're not.
That's good. That's a keeper.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've talked a lot about the NBA so far. We want to turn our attention to the NFL. The question about the quarterback carousel and could it be coming to a screeching halt sometime soon? We'll get to all of that with you guys in just a couple of minutes. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe, Hart and Fitzy in the house. Shime's time to trend.
Andy Hart is with Dale and Keefe every Tuesday and Thursday on WEEI.
I love listening to all the different views and the conversation about all the different quarterbacks, but I feel like if we're going to close this segment out, I just want to close it with the Houston Texans are not trading Deshaun Watson.
When you say that again, mean that they are not trading him soon, or they genuinely believe they're not trading him and he will continue to play for them?
The belief in that building is they can fix this, and this is going to happen, and he's going to stay in Houston. The New England Patriots love Jared Stidham.
I'll say this. Many of us have thought all along in this offseason that ultimately they were going to have to fix this, that Nick Caserio, the single biggest mistake he could make, well, the biggest mistake he made was taking this damn job to begin with.
Yes.
But then his first big move is, I'm going to trade away my franchise quarterback. He had to figure out a way to fix this. Diana Russini says they're going to find a way to fix this. If you don't think he's going, and I've had my doubts about that all along, then the question is, what about the other franchise quarterback who may or may not be headed elsewhere? Our buddy Mike Giardi, NFL Network, tweeted out the following about an hour ago. This is generally accepted, I think, around the league. But I talked to someone who considers himself good friends with Deshaun Watson. He's an active player. He believes strongly that Watson isn't showing up for the Texans, will sit until he is traded.
Yeah, I think this is going to blow up. I don't think Diana Russini's wrong in her report.
They're saying, we're not trading him. We're not even taking calls. We're not doing this.
Right. They believe that. I think they believe that they can fix it. And at some point, they will realize they can't fix it. And at some point, he's not there, and they don't have a quarterback, and they have an asset that is just rotting, and he's going to force his hand. So I think they can believe whatever they want right now, but it's one thing to believe it. The reality is going to smack you in the face at some point.
The other day, I was listening to Kevin Clark from The Ringer talking about how he doesn't believe he'll be traded by free agency, Andy, nor will he be traded by the draft. But when Houston realizes and this is going to affect so many teams' moves because they're going to wish they traded the assets so they knew they had him in place, like a Carolina or maybe a Miami, et cetera, even Denver. But they're going to have to make the moves they make. You wonder, though, once he gets really into the teeth of this, and he's like, I'm not coming to OTAs. I'm not coming to anything voluntary. I'm not coming to training camp. And he's going to start sitting this out, and they realize their hand is forced. And an August trade is made of Deshaun Watson.
Or worse yet, an October trade.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be that bad, but I think they'd get rid of him before the season starts, Dale.
See, I don't. I think it's going to be an October trade potentially, or down the stretch, or next year. I don't. If you do it early, you're a moron.
No, and I think it's an August trade, and what's going to happen is that's going to affect the way teams draft, as in, like, let's make move. Like, maybe we should make some moves considering, like, what we may have to give up for Deshaun when push comes to shove and we get that call in August, like, okay, he's on the table.
So this is a very NBA mentality where you clear cap space, you know, 3 years in advance. You know who's in the 2027 free agency class in the NBA? We got to clear cap space. We got to make decisions 2 and 3 years in advance.
Bingo.
So we're ready to go. That would be the same thing in the NFL, is make free agency and draft decisions in March and April, trying to prepare for August. The only problem with that is if you're left just holding the bag and he doesn't get traded, or it gets pushed on longer, and, oh, by the way, there's a season. You're supposed to actually start now and have a quarterback and have a plan in place. Could blow up in your face.
So the other franchise quarterback available besides Deshaun Watson, if he is, depending on what you think, is obviously Russell Wilson. There is an opus written in The Athletic about the whole Russell Wilson fractured relationship with the Seahawks and what happened. But the bottom line on this piece is apparently Russell Wilson, who has a no-trade clause, has mentioned four teams that he would consider being traded to. They are, in no particular order, the Dolphins, the Jets, the Saints, and the Raiders.
Dale, could you go over that one more time? Because I there was a team missing that I didn't hear. I just want to see if I missed it, and you said it.
Yeah, your team's not on his list.
The Broncos, Andy?
Missed it.
We are all Patriots.
Sorry, we're not getting Russell Wilson.
Not all of us. Not Hunter Henry.
Why does everyone all of a sudden want to go to the Jets?
And no longer Tom Brady, who unfollowed us on Instagram, that ungrateful SOB.
The Jets part, all I can think of is that, A, it's the largest market in the country. Now, Russell Wilson has a spouse who has been in the entertainment industry. I'm not sure if she is still an active entertainer, Ciara, but she's been in the business. You finally cleared out the Adam Gase flotsam and jetsam, and you've put in place a coach who you think is a legitimate NFL head coach, although there are question marks about Robert Saleh. Hasn't done it before. Dolphins make sense because it just seems like everybody wants to play someplace nice and sunny and warm. And, oh, by the way, they're a team that's kind of on the rise.
Yep. And they've got capital galore to move in the draft, Dale. Thank you, Houston.
Saints, obviously, Drew Brees, although he still hasn't announced it, is on his way out. They need a quarterback, you know, climate-controlled conditions, pretty good offensive-minded coach there. The Raiders are the one that confuse me more than any other. I'm going to guess. I don't know Russell Wilson. You know, I'm going to guess he's probably not a huge gambler.
No. Oh, blackjack, not a high roller, not a whale.
I'm going to guess he's
Ciara
not.
Ciara can get a standing show at Caesars. She'll get like a nice show in town or something like that. But this, thank you very much, Jeff Goodman. But I actually think the Raiders make the most sense, because I'll bet you Pete Carroll thinks, if I can get my run game up to speed with some solid receiver talent like we have now, and they've already talked about having to move Tyler Lockett, which would suck because that's a guy who's a great fit on that team, because they're in their cap strap, just like so many other teams that give their quarterbacks $35 million plus a season. You send them two firsts and Derek Carr, that gets the job done, Dale. I really think it does. And then they can go straight into the season. Derek Carr, ball control, have a solid running game, and Russell Wilson and Darren Waller go off, and then Ruggs turns into an absolute deep threat monster this season.
Look, it makes all the sense in the world that Gruden wants to do this. Of course he does.
I'll tell you what, I like that Russell Wilson guy. I like him a lot.
Big upgrade over Derek Carr. I understand. I'm trying to figure out from Russell Wilson's perspective why there. I know why Gruden wants him.
He thinks Gruden has stones.
Yeah, I would be careful, because
my guess is he thinks Gruden is a fool. Like a lot
76-7, 64-61, 58-50.
Gruden has loved a lot of quarterbacks, and then they fall out of love quickly. He has weird relationships with quarterbacks, dating all the way back to his first stint in the NFL early on in Tampa Bay. Remember, it was like Brad Johnson, then it was Jake Plummer, and like they were just recycling people through that he would fall in love with, ideas that he would fall in love with, because he always thinks the next one is better than the one he has. So I don't know why Russell Wilson would be all. Maybe it is. I mean, Dale, you probably took the most disrespectful shot you could ever take at an entertainer earlier when you said, I'm not sure if she's still active in the industry.
She's probably, I'm out of her demographic. I don't know if she's still, is she still producing records? I don't know. I'm not being a smart aleck.
I just think if she heard that, she'd be like, oh, sad face. He doesn't know if
last,
I'm even
her
trying.
Her last record, Beauty Marks, came out in 2019.
Okay. Well, that's okay.
So she's
a while
due,
ago. Had some singles come out
to,
last year.
Due for okay. a drop sometime soon, so that's
maybe
good to
hear. She wants to get into Vegas. I do think there, and I brought this up before with Giselle and Brady, and now Ciara and Russell Wilson. These wives that come from other industries where they are the product, they are the focal point of everything. They get to decide so much of how their career is managed.
Mm-hmm.
I think they bring a little. You know, it's not a coincidence. You know, you're at home having dinner with your wife every night. And she's talking about, yeah, I told my manager today, hell no, I ain't doing that. Get me a better bodyguard. I want better food in the dressing room. And Russell Wilson's like, and I get a sandwich of poop every day from Pete Carroll. He gives me no offensive line. Like, at some point, even if it's not directly spoken, it seeps into their mindset because I don't really know what Russell Wilson has to bitch about. I know everybody fixates on, oh, I got 400 sacks in the last 10 years.
Well, that is something.
He's also a mobile quarterback. Those guys get sacked more.
He holds on to the ball. Right. He holds on to the ball forever.
Sometimes those are on him. And I'd also say they go to the playoffs every year. They won a Super Bowl. They've been to another Super Bowl. It's not like he's been just left in this canyon of losing. And he's just like, look at all those people having fun up there. If I could only find a rock to climb out of here. You're in the conversation all the time. Now, maybe you're not Brady and you're not Manning and you don't have the legacy, because that's in this Athletic piece, too, that he's now fixated on legacy and sort of taking that next step from really good quarterback to MVP, multi-time Super Bowl.
Right.
And that's fine, but you do go to the you're not Matthew Stafford. You have playoff wins. You have a Super Bowl ring.
You've got a Super Bowl ring on your finger. And
oh, by the way, they have done things around you. And the article at least tiptoes into, it was easier for them to do certain things before you started making $35 million a year or whatever.
The Peyton Manning syndrome in Indianapolis.
Yes.
It's the Joe Flacco syndrome. Yes, exactly. It's Flacco syndrome.
Flacco got really bad after they paid him was the difference. But,
nope. Flacco was bad before they paid him, if you watched.
Yeah, he was bad before.
Always
well, he
sucked.
He was good for a playoff run.
One good playoff run.
Yep, that's all it takes.
Point still stands. Russell Wilson, Andy, his gripe is that their offensive philosophy constantly puts them behind in the first half and ends up making him have to play hero ball. Or if they're miraculously ahead, it causes them to lose the lead in the second half and then he has to play hero ball again.
So just say it. Because he's
beating around the bush on it. But
yeah, don't beat around the bush. And they, by the way, brought in a new offensive coordinator that may or may not change things. We know DK has a similar gripe. I'd also like to say Pete Carroll might be too entrenched. If your quarterback hates it and your wide receiver hates it and they're all Pro Bowl caliber players, might be time to rethink what you're doing to at least somehow appease them. Like,
or at least make them think that you're listening to them. And
window dress it a little bit so they feel, oh, yeah, he is listening.
The new OC thing is about, like, Pete consolidating Pete's power, though, because Schneider actually changed that this year. Remember, they were passing for 2 months, and then when they finally went back to the running thing, and reportedly that was a Pete thing. Pete was like, we're not running the ball enough, which is famously what happened with Mike Zimmer a few years ago with John DeFilippo in Minnesota. And then
and
they
famously
up
what happened, John, in 2015 with the Patriots. Like, all we got to do is beat Miami to get home field advantage. Let's run Steven Jackson.
It's like all the
times.
Teams that go to this philosophy, they end up blowing it down the stretch. It happened the Vikings, happened the Patriots that season, and it happened with the Seahawks this past season. So now Pete fires the offensive coordinator that's making those good moves, and he brings in his guy to keep doing what he wants to do. That's got to have Russell ticked off as well.
All right, so we've talked about the coaching quarterback carousel, I should say, and you know, who's left. Maybe another potential Patriots quarterback of the future may not be as available as you might like. Here's San Francisco 49ers general manager, John Lynch, who's on the Eye Test podcast.
Is there any doubt in your mind that Jimmy Garoppolo is your quarterback when you line up in September?
Not at all. I mean, I really believe that he just look at the numbers. I mean, he's 25-24-9, 25-9 when he's played. Being available is a big part of this thing. So, like I said, we probably as a stated goal, we have to insulate ourselves better, and we got to have better options if he's not there. I've watched people go through this in the career where they struggle. It happened to me early, and then I went 8 years without missing a practice. So I believe that things can happen. I believe they will for him. And you know, I really believe that Jimmy is our guy.
And then he heard Nick Caserio was on line two, and he said, Jimmy who? I said, Deshaun Watson is our guy. Because I feel like they've been consistent all along. and everybody made a big deal of it, one of the initial reports. 49ers willing to move on from Jimmy Garoppolo if they can upgrade at the position. Okay.
Isn't every team willing to
dogs smell their own butts.
any team that can upgrade is going to do it, right?
Yes, as they should.
So maybe Tampa. They might not upgrade.
Yeah. Or Kansas City.
That would be the greatest story. Deshaun Watson says, I only have one team I want to go to. I want to go to the Bucks. Jason Light's like, this job's hard.
Yeah, Tom, about that extension.
I mean, I don't think either Deshaun Watson or Russell Wilson are an upgrade over Patrick Mahomes. They might be an upgrade over Tom Brady, especially when you think of age and all of those things. But if you're Jason Light and the Buccaneers, doesn't matter. You're not doing it anyway. Even though he's they could be an upgrade. Deshaun Watson would be an upgrade for you, but I am not doing that.
Talk about a legacy-defining move if you had the ability to say, listen, Tom, I'm sorry, but it's business, not personal. And these guys look like they could be good for another decade. I know you think you're going to play forever, Tom, but you're not going to. These guys are franchise QB. That would be the best story in sports right there.
That big. They'd have to be to pull that thing
off. Yeah. You might want to see a doctor. I don't think they're supposed to be that big.
All right.
All right. When we come back, both Andy and Scheim have got a bone to pick. Usually they don't tag team these things, but they will today. We'll get back to the calls with you as well. It's Dale and Keith. Hart and Fitzy are in the house. Sports Radio WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keith covering the Patriots offseason.
Kyle Pitts out of Florida.
Dale, if Kyle Pitts makes it to 15 and the Patriots draft him, I will run from here to Dunk's and get everyone coffee in a Speedo.
Oh, that's nice.
You ever seen a grown man naked?
On WEEI.
I think the Senior Bowl week with Matt Rhule. Now, Deshaun Watson, Greeny, is the trade going to happen? Who's going to get Deshaun Watson? Will he be dealt? That could alter things, obviously, in the top 10. But if things stay the way they are, Carolina, how if you're Matt Rhule and you like Mac Jones coming in, how can you not love him coming out of Senior Bowl week? So I think at that particular pick, it would be very difficult for Carolina, who is eyeing a quarterback in that division. They will be the team ahead of the curve with the youngest quarterback moving forward. Why not at number 8 take Mac Jones? I got a bone to pick.
So it is we are hip deep into the mock draft season, which in past years we've sort of looked at, glanced at, but it didn't really matter. I mean, you knew that Bill was going to trade down anyway, and you didn't have a need for a quarterback and all that stuff. But this year's different. That is Mel Kiper Jr., who has his latest mock draft. It is the second mock draft. Here's the difference is, this time, for the first time ever, he's including potential trades. And he's got a couple of specific trades in there, including one involving your New England Patriots. But both Scheim and Andy want to poop on your parade here.
Scheim, I'll let you begin because I know you have I saw you started on, I believe, text, email, and social media all at once, basically, but picking bones.
I weighed in on this on social media actually before this mock draft came out. 3 days ago, I tweeted, quote, "Anyone who thinks Mac Jones should be drafted in the top 10 is an idiot. And anyone that says top 20 is high.
First of all, you're quoting yourself.
That's the tweet.
Yeah, well, because it comes to a larger point. He's basically, Mac Jones is a day two quarterback that will probably get reached on in the late 20s to early 30s in the NFL draft because teams overvalue QB prospects. Mm-hmm. Andy complimented me and said that was actually a decent take. It's kind of where I'm going with this.
I think he said not a bad take. So
no, it says, quote, actually a decent take.
Jeez, he's quoting everything. He has all the information right in front of him.
I came prepared this time.
I'm just not used to people coming prepared to the table.
And so then 3 days later, Mel Kiper releases a mock draft where Mac Jones goes number 8 overall before Trey Lance. I'm losing my mind. I believe my mind.
By the way, Scheim, other folks other than Mel Kiper Jr., guys like Charlie Weiss and others who know a thing or two about football.
Yeah, the game is past Charlie Weiss by a little bit here.
Wait a minute.
But you're smack dab in the middle of knowing what you're talking about.
No.
Okay, so can I bring an expert source to the table?
Please.
And not named Scheim.
Expert source.
I'm not
a
sure.
Media member who just happened to cover the New England Patriots, the Buffalo Bills in their pursuit for an NFL quarterback over the years, and just so happens to have watched every single flipping pass that Mac Jones has thrown at Alabama game days and practice days when the media is available. I'm not sure there are all of them.
At Alabama, probably not.
One, Mike Rodak of Alabama.com. Do you believe, I don't know if John Anderson knows I'm queuing something up here. I hope he's picked up
on it. Well, I picked up on it, but usually, Andy, at some point, there's some
just
communication.
I thought you were a professional. I thought you were a professional and could pick up on my cues.
Just get to the
Mike
point.
Rodak of Alabama.com. Do you think teams should consider taking Mac Jones at number 15 overall or even higher than that? Taking yourself out of sort of the closeness to him, would you think he was worthy of the 15th pick in the draft?
No, and that's, I think, the tough part for him is that he might be being elevated a little bit higher than where he should go.
Okay, now, all I really wanted was the no part. No, right. Hell no.
Well,
no,
I could have even got it for you. Now, Andy, I would like to also, I would like to point out that Devonta Smith, when asked if he was a Tua guy or a Mac Jones guy, said Mac Jones all day, having caught
that's
many
little
touchdown passes. Wait, hold on. That he's in favor of him as well, but in general, to the whole idea of Mel Kiper, last year in his final mock draft, Mel Kiper, the draft guru,
Todd,
he got, are you ready for this? 6 out of 32 correct in the first round.
Wow, that's less than I got right. I released a mock draft on WEEI.com.
Released
got more
the mock
than that.
Draft. Was this a version 1.0, 2.0?
Yeah, it was a 1.0.
So, no, last year, Shyam and I did a live draft watch, which we drank a lot
true?
Of booze for, and we would write down the who we thought it was going to be picked as Goodell would say it, and we'd flash mm-hmm. it up. Coming down on the very last pick, I believe we were tied at 6, and I hit Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So
yes.
you were tied with Mel Kiper.
Sorry, tied Mel
Kiper.
Gas
yourself up here.
Tied.
But, like,
tied.
I don't watch nearly as much tape as he does. I don't
and
spend
yet you know
every
the
day of the
And yet you say people who say Mac Jones is a good pick are idiots.
Yes.
Your word, not mine.
Mike Rodak agrees with
Daddy's
me.
Right.
You just
Daddy's
said
right
you don't
on.
Watch him.
I know. I said I don't watch as much tape
Mac
as
Jones.
Mel Kiper.
Right.
I don't spend my days preparing my mock drafts.
No,
every
you just
like
spend your night,
because
you spend
it's
your
not
nights
my
drinking hard seltzer and playing games where, like, fluffer nutters chase around little dragon people.
I'm playing a game where RC cars are playing soccer. Like, this is what I'm doing with my
that's
time.
What my son was just
it's
doing
a lot
when
of fun.
I checked in.
Rocket League.
Wait a minute.
So basically what you're saying is Shyam is your son.
Basically yes.
They share a brain.
Yeah.
But more importantly, Shyam is actually right. Actually right this time. Yeah, Mac Jones. The one problem is this groundswell of support for this idea. I don't believe Kiper's the first. I believe Tannenbaum just days ago said very emphatically that Mac Jones is not getting past the 8th pick in
are
the draft.
Are you cueing me again?
No, I'm not.
No,
I'm just
citing
that. That's fine.
Yeah, this is not an unusual opinion here.
A lot
of people think this is who Matt Rule wants.
But Dale, a lot of people think a lot of things. Yeah, a lot of people think masks
right.
don't do anything,
so
right, Dale? Are those people right?
No, here's the point
I'm
trying to make.
Go from Mac Jones to Mask Jones? What are we doing? Please, can we just delineate
you guys are missing the point. I want to be right. I want Matt Rule to take Mac Jones at 8. And then I want the Patriots to do what Mel Kiper Jr. says they're going to do, is trade with the Broncos at 9 and get Trey Lance.
I would love Trey Lance. That's great. But
then
I
don't
also
bitch
want
about Mac Jones going before that.
More importantly than that, I just want good football. I want good teams to be better. And you
want
to know what Mac Jones is?
Don't
he's
you
going
want your
to be,
team to be better?
He is no better. He's going to be no better than Teddy Bridgewater.
Good.
It's literally
go
just changing out the contract.
Carolina. Good.
So this whole argument is based on your sympathy for the Carolina Panthers.
No,
and the people
I,
of Charlotte?
Yes. No.
Yes,
I think
basically.
Mel Kiper is dumb. That's
he's
my
not
main
dumb.
Point.
Okay,
take
Mel
that
Kiper
back.
Did not
he
say that this
industry.
Should happen. It's a
this mock
Mel
draft
Kiper,
is dumb.
Mel Kiper, Tannenbaum, all these people, none of them are saying that this should happen.
And
they're
all
trying
dumb.
To predict what they
yes,
think
yes, and
coach
they're all
will
wrong
do.
Because it's not going to happen. I'm sorry. Mac Jones is not going in the top 10.
Saving this.
Save
yeah!
it. Go for it. Mac Jones isn't going in the top 10 because you know what? NFL teams are smarter than that. I like to believe
no,
that.
They
I want to believe that.
So the guy whose NFL expertise cost Fitzy's kids their college fund
mm-hmm.
is
yep.
saying Mel Kiper
Jr. No, that's
Jr.
a gambling expertise. That's different.
Well,
you just also admitted your mock draft that you post. I don't watch tape and get ready for my mock draft.
No, I didn't say I don't watch tape. I said I don't watch as much as Mel Kiper. Mel Kiper spends every day preparing his mock draft. Every single day. That's
as
his
he
job.
Should. It's his job. He
my
created,
job is to
he
be
not
a
only
producer
created the
on
job,
this show.
He created the industry. Mel Kiper created the industry
literally.
That everybody
yeah,
else has
the industry has now since passed him by. He might
that's
need
fair.
To like wash. He might need to kind of like let Todd McShay take over a little bit.
No, it's Todd fair, McShay sucks too.
I know, but at least he's young enough to keep up with the NFL.
That's the pride of Swampscott you're talking about there, you son of a blank. Don't
so,
you be
so
hating
all you
on
need
Todd
is youth,
McShay.
Then it doesn't matter if you know anything. Just get younger. That's what you just said, Shyam.
No, I'll listen
yeah,
to Daniel Jeremiah.
Younger.
He's experienced. He knows what he's talking about.
Shine.
Well,
you
Jeremiah,
you're
Jeremiah's
not
up there
case
too.
At all.
No, Dale. You don't understand. The reason he said I listen to Jeremiah is because Jeremiah agrees with Shine. Jeremiah
exactly.
is on record saying that yeah. Mac Jones is a late one
that's
or a second
not,
round
that's
pick.
That's not why.
That's the
I
only
would
reason
him.
You're on board with him.
No, that's
is that
not
his
true at
take
all. I just think
agrees
he's smart.
With your take.
He's smart.
An additional
because
note
he agrees
here,
with you.
No.
Yes.
He had that
that's
opinion
the world
before
we live
I had
in.
That opinion.
What?
He had that opinion before I had that opinion. So
he
I
also loved
with
Trey
that.
Lance. He was the guy that was promoting Trey Lance as maybe the most talented quarterback
yeah,
in the draft.
That was after I already.
But
did.
Kiefer's oh. not saying that Mac Jones shouldn't be a late first round pick or a day two pick. You guys probably agree, Sean. He's just mocking him to the
He's
Panthers because he thinks that's what the Panthers
yeah,
will
and
do.
And I don't think
when
that's,
did
I don't
John
think that's
become
accurate.
Kiefer's like
I don't
personal
know.
Assistant?
No,
it's not just Kiefer. It's anybody. It's common
I think
sense.
People,
it's
I think
actual logic, for God's sake.
I think it's
discussion?
Anti-logic. I don't think people are using logic in these mock drafts. I don't think the
like
Falcons are trading up for Zach Wilson. They have Matt Ryan on their staff, who they're paying $49 million the next 2 years.
All right, Shime, hold tight. Number one, Arthur Smith is going to want his guy, and he's probably, I can't imagine that he's going to commit long-term to Matt Ryan, who costs a fortune, when he may well believe in a younger signal caller who can run his offense better going forward, if I'm reading the Arthur Smith tea leaves
Then you
correctly.
Have to
Number
unload
two,
Matt Ryan.
Then maybe he moves
might.
On in 2022, which is
maybe
fine.
Maybe you need
he
to get
well
a quarterback
might.
First.
But also, you guys, through this entire inane discussion of February 25th mock drafts, two-plus months before the actual draft itself, and that's why that we include the word mock in the front of them, because that's all we do is mock them, because they're just made-up nonsense for all of us to go through, and we're so desperate for a quarterback. You're all looking past the fact that if Trey Lance goes to the Patriots, that all but guarantees Cam Newton returns for at least 1 year, if not two more.
And I'm fine with that. And I am 100%
in on
that
plan. If you had Trey Lance, that's great.
Trey Lance is swinging for the grand slam. He is saying this is a physically gifted, modern NFL quarterback. There may be a transition period. He may not be ready out of day one. Maybe it's even a full season. But you are swinging for the fences. I love that more than any other plan out there. Y'all can take your Marcus Mariota's good and Mitchell Trubisky's good and Jimmy Garoppolo's good and shove it up your cutucus, because if Trey Lance is here, then I'll actually be excited.
And I said all along that the only way I want Cam Newton back is if mm-hmm. it's paired with a first-round draft pick quarterback, you know, and Cam can help teach him the ropes and can start
yes.
the season if the kid's mm-hmm. not ready, and this
He's
kid
athletic.
Probably wouldn't be ready.
No.
We didn't even get to the point, because Shine was screaming,
yeah,
what the Patriots Sorry. Would have to give to the Broncos in this scenario that Mel Kiefer Jr. The Broncos would have to get, according to Kiefer, at least the number 15 pick, obvious,
sure.
a second-round pick, and a 2022 pick. And I wouldn't be shocked if it took the Pats' first rounder in 2022 to get the deal over the finish line.
Agreed.
That's a lot.
And I agree.
For Trey Lance, send it. I'm in.
Yeah. And remember, in this scenario, he's like, you're running out of quarterbacks. So you may not be bidding with just yourself. Like, somebody else might say, ooh, quarterback, I got to go get a quarterback. He's there. You're swinging for the fences. I love it. We talked about it when Curran said uncharacteristically aggressive. This would be uncharacteristically aggressive for Bill Belichick. Trade into the top 10, take a quarterback, get his jersey in the pro shop. We all feel better. We may regret it later. We may be one of those teams. You run this guy out of football in 3 years. But for the here and for the now, we'll feel good.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the shocking thing for me is that in Mel Kiefer Jr.'s mock draft, it isn't that five quarterbacks go as early as they do. It's that Micah Parsons falls to the Lions at 12.
Well, yeah, they're just sitting there saying, woohoo!
Yeah, exactly.
Character concerns. That's why. He's got top five talent, but there are
Listen,
character concerns.
If he were in hockey, he'd be a dime a dozen with all the hazing that goes on in that sport. Jeez.
We'll
yeah,
see.
That's kind of the old days.
I don't trust anything out of Happy Valley these days. Or anytime. Nothing. It's called Happy Valley. No
all
thanks.
Right, all right.
I'm
Let
all,
it go.
I'm all set. Thank you. Check, please.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. So Shime had a bone to pick, and we just mocked him for it. We'll hear what our buddy Mike Reese has to say about the Patriots quarterback position in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keith, Hart and Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.